This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white floating soap that's purer than finest cat deals. Well, it's Tuesday night again. Time for another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, Jimmy Cash, Paul Whiteman and his music, and the Swan Ted, who open our show with Hitch Old Dobbin to the Shea again.
Hitch Old Dobbin to the Shea again. You won't use the car anymore.
Old Dobbin, remember the shady lane.
We're glad in Mama Poonin, that led to honeymooning. Hitch Old Dobbin to the Shea again. My granddaddy did before. When Grandpa was courting, Grandma at night.
We hit the ball, Dobbin, and we did all right.
So hitch old Dobbin to the Shea again. You won't feel in your car anymore.
And now, meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Here they are. Well, spring is here, and like most other housewives, Gracie is in the attic of the Burns home, starting in on her spring cleaning. However, most other housewives would consider the feather duster she's using quite unusual, to say the least.
Now, do you get the idea, Herman?
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, you just back up to the furniture and wiggle your tail until it's all dusted. Understand?
Uh-huh.
And that way I won't have to vacuum the whole place. I'll just have to vacuum you. All right, now, we'll start with this old trunk. Wiggle away, Herman. Oh, no, 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 Herman. The dust is flying all over the place. You've got to dust more carefully. Wiggle your tail slowly and deliberately. All right, Herman, that's enough. That's fine. Herman, you can stop now. It's all dusted. Herman, burn! Oh, you like to do that, huh? Stop it. It isn't dignified. How do you think Mama would look doing a thing like that? Herman, I think you've been seeing entirely too many Dorothy L'Amour pictures.
How are you getting on, dear?
Oh, fine, George. Herman, you may go to your room now. Go on, Herman.
What's with him?
Oh, he's been wiggling his tail in a way no gentleman would dream of.
Really? Well, he ought to be taught a lesson. Let's eat him.
Oh, George. You shouldn't say that. Our little duck has been working his feathers to the bone.
Oh, sure.
Well, now that you're here, you can help me clean out this trunk.
Gee, look at all this junk. What is it anyhow?
Treasures from the Garden of Memory.
Hmm. Well, maybe we could weed the garden a little. Look, here's a big china doll. One you had when you were a kid, huh?
No, that belonged to my brother Willie.
Your brother Willie played with dolls?
Oh, he wasn't a sissy, just bashful. He was afraid he wouldn't know what to do on a date with a girl, so he got a doll to practice with.
Did it help him?
No, not very much. On his first date with a girl, he turned her upside down to make her say mama.
That's a very bright Willie. What's in this envelope? On the outside, it says, my dearest memory.
Oh, that's the very first note you ever wrote me.
Really?
We went to the drugstore, and we each had an ice cream soda, and after we finished the sodas, you wrote that note and gave it to me. Don't you remember what it said?
I love you, baby.
No, I owe you 20 cents.
I really had the gift of expression in those days.
George, Gracie, where are you?
In the attic, Bill. Come on up.
Okay.
Say, can't we get rid of this trash, honey? I really don't see any reason for hanging on to this old tin dipper.
Oh, I couldn't part with that dipper, George. It's a very intimate souvenir of the day we were married.
Well, what do you mean?
I filled it with cold water and threw it on my mother when she had hysterics.
Dear old mother.
Hiya, folks. Hey, George, where's Gracie?
Right there with her head in the trunk.
Her head in the trunk? Oh, murder, George. You shouldn't have done it.
Oh, brother.
Oh, George, look what I found. The yearbook of your graduating class in school.
Oh, Gracie, please put it back. It recalls the awful, the horrible tragedy of my own school days, which I'm trying to forget.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill.
A great sorrow which I'd rather not speak of.
Well, of course, Bill.
A dark cloud which I'd just as soon not mention.
Well, we understand,
a catastrophe, but which I'd rather not recall.
Well, Bill,
a blight upon my childhood, which I don't want to think of.
Well, forget it. Forget it.
All right, I'll tell you all about it.
Oh.
You see, when I went to school...
Yes?
Swan soap hadn't been invented.
Oh, no.
No.
There was no such thing as Swan, the new white floating soap that's purer than finest Castile's regular Sutton with.
Now, look, Bill.
Thank goodness the children of today and their mothers can know the joy, the thrill, the ecstasy that comes from plunging their hands into a brimming dishpan and washing the dishes with Swan. Oh, and to know that those Swan suds are so mild that they actually help protect your hands, help keep them soft and lovely. That's why you should use Swan for every soap and water job around the house.
Well, you don't
no
have
more
to tell
squabbles,
us.
No more quarrels among the children over their favorite soap. Because Swan breaks in two with an easy twist of the wrist.
Bill, you don't
so that baby sister can toddle off to the kitchen with half for dishes and cleaning, and baby brother can toddle off to the bathroom with the other half for hands and face, shower, or tub.
Well, I'm going to toddle off myself. Gracie, call me when the bubbles have cleared away.
Oh, wait, George. Don't you want to see your class picture?
Show it to Bill.
Yeah, let's see it, Gracie. Which one is George?
Oh, Bill, it's easy to find. Just pick out the handsome, most intelligent-looking boy in the picture.
Well, let's see. I'd say this kid right here.
Correct. And that's George right in back of him.
Should have recognized him. I think he's still wearing that suit. Let's see what they say about it, Gracie. They always do a paragraph on each boy in these school annuals.
All right, now wait a minute until I find him. William Walsh, baseball team 2 years. Alan Smith, basketball team 3 years. Oh, here it is. George Burns, debating team, 1 debate.
Well, read what it says.
All right. George Burns, golden voice orator of our
debating team. Golden voice? Well, maybe there is gold in George's voice. After all, they get gold from gravel. Go ahead, Bill.
George Burns, golden voice orator of our debating team, will undoubtedly become one of our finest lawyers after graduation.
Lawyer? George, a lawyer? Oh, they really missed the boat with that prophecy.
Yes, they certainly... Hey, wait a minute. Was it their mistake or mine?
What do you mean?
Well, George should have been a lawyer, and I talked him into going into show business with me. I wrecked his career.
Oh, yeah? You don't know where I can get mine wrecked like that, do you?
Oh, Bill, this is terrible. George was meant to be a lawyer. Why didn't I see it? All my friends did. They always said that George was no actor.
Well, I agree with that, but don't worry about his legal career.
Don't worry about it. Why, Bill, look at the years George has wasted. Years when he should have been standing before a jury, dressed in his long black plaintiff, while he convicted client after client.
But Gracie...
Bill, my duty is clear. I launched George on his legal career today. This terrible mistake would never have happened if I'd listened to my father.
Your father?
Yes, he told me time and time again to take George into court.
This is Paul White. Here's a real winner. There's a harbor of dreamboats. Thank you.
Well, there's no reasoning with Gracie once she gets an idea. She even had business cards printed and is now going from house to house soliciting clients.
Yes, ma'am?
Good afternoon. Have one of my husband's cards.
Let's see. George Burns, attorney, solicitor, advocate, barrister, jurist, and counselor, also handles law cases.
He's a lawyer, you see. Can you use his services?
Oh, no, ma'am. Here's your card back.
Oh, but don't you ever want to sue anybody?
No, ma'am. Nobody ever does anything to me. Good day.
Should I? Yes.
You broke my window.
I know. Have one of my husband's cards.
Yes?
How do you do? Are you married?
Yes.
Would you like a divorce?
No, I'm very happy.
Oh, what a shame. Does your wife ever make you warm her side of the bed and then push you over on the cold side?
Well, yes.
Have one of my husband's cards.
But really, I don't want a divorce.
What is it, honey? Who are you talking to?
Oh, this lady's husband's a lawyer, and she's trying to sell us a divorce to get him some business.
Say, there's something screwy about this.
Oh, what do you mean, baby?
Well, people don't go from door to door peddling divorces. I've got a hunch your mother sent her here.
Are you crazy? She wouldn't do a thing like that.
Oh, no. That old biddy never did think I was good enough for you.
Now, hold on, baby. You can't call my mother an old biddy.
Yeah, hold on, baby.
Don't get tough, honey. I'll say what I please.
Don't get tough, honey.
Why, you're not half the lady my mother is.
Not even a quarter.
Why, I'm worth 10 of her.
20 of her.
Says you.
Says him.
Says me.
Says her.
Says you.
Says me.
Says both of you.
You can pack up and get out of here.
That suits me fine.
My, isn't it lucky I happen to have my husband's cards with me. There's one for you, baby, and one for you, honey.
Yes?
You need a lawyer.
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, yes, you do. There's a police summons on your car. It's parked in front of a fire plug.
Oh, no, it isn't.
I ought to know. I parked it there.
What?
Have one of my husband's cards.
Yeah?
Good afternoon. Do you need a lawyer?
I'll say I do. Come inside, quick. I can't leave that door open long, sister. I don't want the bulls in here.
Oh, are you a cattleman?
Now, quit wisecracking. Louis sure took his time sending you. Been waiting 3 hours. Where's the mouthpiece?
The mouthpiece?
You heard me.
Why, well, there it is, right on the telephone.
What are you doing, playing dumb?
Oh, no, I'm not playing.
And where's the lawyer? Where is the lawyer?
Oh, the lawyer. Oh, but he's home. He's an awfully good lawyer, too. His name is George Burns.
Burns, huh? Must be a new one. Guess Louis had to shoot the old one.
Had to shoot him? Why?
He knew too much.
Oh, well, you don't have to worry about that with George.
Well, he better be good. I'm in plenty of trouble. I've been sitting on a pile of hot rocks.
Oh, my goodness. Have you tried Ungentine?
Ungentine? Say, wait a minute, sister. You're acting too dumb to be on the level. You're working for a flatfoot named Murphy.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm working for a knock-kneed named Burns.
Well, I guess I got to trust you, chum. I got nobody else. Now, here's what you tell this lawyer.
Rip it, chum.
Huh?
Kill it.
What?
Kill it?
You mean spill it?
You said it, chum.
Okay. Me and Lefty was in a jug, see? And the day we got sprung, we put the finger on a jewelry joint. Now we're hot, and we can't find a fence to unload. You got it?
Got it, chum.
Say it back to me.
You and Lefty were unloading jugs when you noticed a finger with some jewelry around the joint, so both of you sprang over a fence.
Forget it, chum. I'll go see this lawyer myself.
Oh, well, that's fine. Here's his address. Well, goodbye.
Hey, wait a minute. I might be walking into a trap. Once and for all, are you sure you know Louis?
Louis?
Yeah, Louis.
If I didn't know him, what would you do to me?
They'd find your body in the river.
Well, I guess I'd better tell the truth, mister.
Yeah?
Louis, my father. Goodbye.
And now, Jimmy Cash singing, I Never Mention Your Name.
I never mention your name, oh no. I never dream of your eyes. I never go where we used to go to hear the echo of your sighs. I never mention your name, oh no. I never ache for your kiss. I never turn all the lights down low to let the shadows reminisce. I never wait by the fire expecting you to call by 10. I never feel the slightest desire to hold you and slide again. I never mention your name, oh no. I never know you're away, except for every minute of every hour.
Your name, Burns?
Yes.
Louis sent me.
Louis? You mean Louis the Butcher?
That's a very good name for him. Louis the Butcher. Louis will get a kick out of that.
Yeah. Butchers are getting easier to please.
Yeah. Hey, listen, chum. Louis and me got some stuff to unload. And I think you can help us. I like your looks, Burns.
You do?
Yeah. You look like you'd stoop to anything.
Now, just a minute. You tell Louis he can keep his black market meat.
Me? I ain't got nothing that valuable. Just diamonds and rubies.
Aren't you from Louis' meat market?
Are you kidding? I'm from Louis the Weasel.
Louis the Weasel? You mean the gangster?
Yeah. Louis' daughter sent me to see you.
But I don't know Louis's daughter. I've never...
No? There's a picture on the piano.
That's my wife.
Wife? And your father-in-law must be the Weasel.
The description fits my mother-in-law better.
Now stop stalling.
Now, look here.
Oh, hello, Dad. Oh, I'm glad you two got together.
Gracie, who is this man? What's going on?
Well, your legal career started, George. This man is a client. You're supposed to lift his veil or tote his barge or something.
Now, wait a minute. I can't help him. I'm no lawyer.
Why, George Burns, you are, too.
Look, will you two make up your minds? The DA is waiting to pin a rap on me.
Well, you run along and have your fitting and come back later.
Goodbye, screwballs. That's the trouble with being a crook. You have to meet the public.
Gracie.
Yes, dear?
Will you explain to me why I've suddenly become a lawyer?
Well, it says so in your high school yearbook. In the class prophecy, it said that you would undoubtedly become a brilliant attorney.
Gracie, I'm doing all right. I don't want to be a lawyer.
But think of the money you'd make. Those big lawyers can charge anything. Look at Charles Evans Hughes and Francis Biddle. And look at Felix Frankfurter. Why, Frankfurter's in such demand that he had to be rationed.
Yeah, they pay him off in red stamps.
Hello. Well, here I am.
Oh, hello. George, this is another client for you. I broke his window and he's going to sue me.
You didn't?
Yes, I did.
But I don't want to sue anybody. I just want $10 for my window.
Well, here's your $10, mister.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, wait. Don't settle for $10. Let my husband handle your case. He'll take me into court and sue me for every cent he's got.
Oh, no. No, ma'am. It wouldn't be fair to sue you. I decided you and your husband must be crazy.
On your way, mister.
Yes, sir. Of course, if you're not crazy, I'll apologize.
Out, out.
And if you are, no hard feelings.
Out. A fine mess you fixed up for me.
Why, George, you love having a legal career. It's so dignified. You walk down the street in your cutaway coat and striped pants, and everybody will tip their hats and say, "Good morning, Shyster."
I don't want to be a lawyer. I never intended to be.
Come in.
There she is. There's the woman who broke up my home.
Yeah, sue me.
You bet I'll sue you. I was so happy, and now Bertha's left me.
Now, wait a minute, wait a minute. Maybe we could settle this out of court. Here, would $100 help?
Yeah, thank you. But I'll never find another girl like Bertha.
Oh, you miss your wife, huh?
No. But when she left, she took my cook Bertha with her. I'll never find another girl like Bertha.
Well, that's fine. $100 thrown out of the window.
Well, dear, I thought a divorce case would be nice for you.
Don't tempt me. Come in.
Burns?
How much?
$50.
Here.
Thanks.
Well?
I don't remember what I did to him.
Oh.
Say, George.
How much?
Oh, it's you, Bill.
Yes. Oh, boy, am I in the clouds. Guess who I just saw walking down your street? Claudette Colbert.
Really, Bill? How was she dressed?
Oh, never mind, Gracie. I want to talk to you in the library.
Oh,
for heaven's sake, George. Let me tell your wife how Claudette Colbert was dressed. Women are interested in those things.
Good.
Well, she had on a cute little hat with shoes to match.
My goodness, you'll freeze.
Oh, well, Gracie, that isn't all. She had on a beautiful gladiolus-colored dress. Her spring coat was a sort of a gladiolus shade, and she was carrying a bag of gladiolus-colored leather.
But still, gladiolus are all kinds of colors. How can I tell what Claudette Colbert looked like?
Well, just send for the Swan Rainbow assortment of gladiolus bulbs, and when they come, you'll practically have Claudette Colbert in your backyard.
Oh, no.
These gladiolus bulbs are the kind florists use for their choicest cut flowers. They'll produce long, sturdy stalks, gleaming foliage, and spike after spike of big satiny blooms, with as many as 16 flowers to each stem. Some of them as large as 4 inches across.
That's fine, Bill,
but farm people will send this wonderful assortment of 8 gladiolus bulbs, including a special feature bulb called the Swan White, to anyone who sends in a wrapper from any size bar of Swan soap along with 10 cents, to Gracie Allen, Box 7, New York City.
We know. Now, Gracie.
Allen, Box 7, New York City.
Bill. Oh, here comes another one of Gracie's victims. Get rid of her, Bill.
Okay.
And you come with me, Gracie. We've got some talking to do.
Why, Claudette Colbert.
Mr. and Mrs. Burns at home? I want to talk to them about the $13 billion bond drive.
Well, yes, they're in the library.
Thank you.
Come in.
Hello, George and Gracie. I dropped in.
I know. How much do you want?
$13 billion.
What?
Well, honestly, Claudette, I don't think he has that much on him.
I don't want it from him personally. I want to enlist your help in the second war loan drive.
Oh.
Well, how can we help?
By passing on a message to the people you entertain. Remind them that it's nice to be entertained. Nice to be able to listen to what they please. Nice to think what they please. And to know that when the doorbell rings, it isn't the secret police. Nice to be free instead of slaves under a dictator.
You bet it's nice.
Tell them what France and Greece and Poland have learned. That defeat means torture, starvation, and death. Tell them that the second war loan needs $13 billion to start putting an end to the world's suffering.
Yes, we'll tell them.
And ask them how much they can give. Don't say give till it hurts, because it hurts no one to invest in their future happiness and the future happiness of their children. Just ask them how much they can give to endow themselves with freedom forever.
You can count on us, Claudia.
Oh, we'll do everything we can.
I know you will. Thank you, and goodbye.
$13 billion. Well, that's a lot of money, but
The American people will lay it right on the line.
Well, of course they will. And you'll be able to make a big contribution when your lawyer's fees start coming in.
Look, will you stop with the silly talk? I am no lawyer.
Why, George Burns, you are too.
I am not.
You are.
I'm not.
You are.
Gracie, I'm not a lawyer. Do you understand? I am not a lawyer.
Well, that only leaves me one thing to say.
What?
You are too.
Oh. Do you realize what you've done to me? This has cost me a fortune.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear.
Well, you ought to be. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop your allowance until I get back all my money.
You are?
I am.
But, George, that's wonderful. At last, you've got a case.
A case?
Yes. I'll sue you for non-support, and you can be my lawyer.
Oh, no.
George and Grace, you'll be right back. Meanwhile, lots of families are finding that under wartime restrictions, life has to be a lot simpler. Well, one of the things that helps is Swan soap. Swan does every soap and water job. It's purer than finest Castile soaps, and it suds like 60, even in hard water. It's grand for your shower or tub, for your face or hands, for baby, and for dishes or light laundry. And by the way, don't forget that Swan Glad offer. 8 rainbow Glad bulbs, including a separately wrapped feature bulb of purest white color. The amazing Swan White Glad. You get them all for a Swan wrapper and only 10 cents in coin. Send now to Gracie Allen, Box 7, New York City. Now remember, that's Gracie Allen, Box 7, New York City. And now here are George and Gracie.
Well, I guess you're right, George. But I did want you to be a lawyer so I could come to your office and read those beautiful verses in your law book.
Verses in law books?
Sure. Smith versus Jones. Jones versus Smith. Jones versus Jones.
The makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune in to your CBS station again next week, same time. Remember, George Burns and Gracie Allen, CBS, next Tuesday night. And don't forget to listen to Swan's other show, Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou, next Friday night over another network. And now, till next week, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, I, Swan, how about you? Good night.